our definition of a mind shifter, you know, most people call what we call mind shifters, pardon me, most people call affirmations, but we have a totally different approach. You know, the average person uses affirmations, a thought that is not true, but pushing it, hoping it will become true, is what most people do with an affirmation. What we suggest is take any affirmation you've ever been attracted to use and turn it into a mind shifter. And a mind shifter, we define that as, it's a thought about an issue in your life around which you have negative thoughts, and it's the opportunity through resonance to surface, process, and release the negative thoughts, which makes room for the affirmation to become an actuality. You work through what blocks the affirmation. And one of the things we know is that what resonates, the body of energy that resonates in the mind, determines what the mind contributes to creating. So let's say I have an issue about any issue. Let's say, well, the one I usually use in the workshop is money. So we've got somebody who's, you know, gee, always broke. And somebody gives them a mind shifter. I have enough money, I have enough money, I have enough money, I have more money than I need, I have more money than I need. And somebody goes around yelling that, you know, reinforcing that. Well, you can push that and make that the strongest energy. But if it on the surface mind, on the conscious level, but if on the unconscious level, in the hidden part of the mind, there's information or an energetic dynamic of a lack of money, then the affirmation about money will tend to reinforce or resonate. Remember, don't think about the color of your car. What moves in your mind? Something about the color of your car. Don't think about a lack of money and what moves in your mind. Or think about an awesome amount of money that you have. If there's lack in there, that's what's going to be resonated by it, and that will tend to be what expresses in the world. So instead of ignoring the hidden part of the mind, we call that premature positive thinking, use an affirmation to resonate the hidden part of the mind. And so as Jeannie was saying, you divide the page in two, and the, just 1 second, someone's calling me, and I need to put that on hold. So the mind shifter, you write it on the left-hand side of the page, divide the page in two, and then on the right side, write everything that comes up in response to it. And just let yourself totally focus on that. You know, make sure your phone is off, you're centered in your own space, and you just let yourself write and write and write and drop into deeper and deeper hidden parts of your own mind. This is just a tool, a way to access the unconscious. And of course, once you've accessed the unconscious part of your own mind around any given issue, you now can take that part of your mind and apply the tools and clean it up. So produces a different result. So that's kind of the bottom line of using mind shifter. So if you pick a number from 1 to 21, that will determine which section the mind shifter will give you is from. And then if you pick a number from 1 to 13, because there are 13 mind shifters in each section, that will tell you which. Just 1 second here. That will tell you which mind shifter you get. So if you've got a mind shifter for us, if you'd like a number, push 1. And we'll tell you. And the reason we use this system of selecting mind shifters through numbers is rather than going to my mind or yours trying to figure out what needs to be done, the mind shifter gives you the opportunity or the guidance we ask for as you are looking for your numbers is that you pick the right two numbers. And thousands of times we've had people picking numbers and it's always just goes being right on to what needs to be dealt with. So the 21 sections on the mind shifter list are healing into aliveness, healing fear and hostility through forgiveness, creating from abundance, healing into eternal life, healing death, source esteem issues, healing generations, dealing with power person issues, living without perception and memory, partnering in sweetness, approval, and love, healing the issues in my tissues, healing blame, healing regulatory speech, being on purpose, healing issues around people dying, living as love, overcoming a beguiling ego, healing family traumas, on becoming the observer in my life, healing power person dynamics, healing addiction. So those are the 21 different sections. And section 22, which, as I say, I haven't completed yet, is processing parental energies. So if you'd like a mind shifter, push one. Give us two numbers, a number from 1 to 21, and then a number from 1 to 13.
There's two hands up. I'm not sure if they're left over from Dr. Tim, but we'll check.
Let's go for it.
The first one is Miss Celinda, 541. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Welcome,
how are you today?
How can we support you today? We're rocking.
Yeah, we're rocking here, too. The sun is out, and it's warm.
Nice.
Anyway, in reference to yesterday's conversation that Dr. Tim had with Susan, I wanted to share what my experience is showing me now. I'm like what Dr. Tim said about make fake it till you make it, because that's kind of been my mantra for many, many years, about 30, except it was really slow. It's been really slow making it. And being aware that that wasn't about being hypocritical for me. It was about saying, well, I'm just going to doing this until it becomes real for me. It becomes, I make the connection.
Yeah. You might want to look at the fact that your mind plugs in the vibration of hypocritical there. That there might be something.
Right.
Remember, my words fly up, my thoughts remain below. The fact that in the context of that conversation, your mind injects the word, oh, there's nothing about hypocritical. There's probably some denial about some hypocrisy there that would probably be beneficial to look at.
I don't feel that way with what I'm saying.
Well, I wasn't suggesting you felt that way. I was just inviting you to look. Your words tell us there's something going on. That's all.
Right. And my words, very often I don't communicate very well. I am aware when I'm being hypocritical, to the best of my ability, and I do my best to make it, to be aware of that, observe that, and go into why am I hypocritical. But anyway, yeah.
Well, let me give you an example. Let me give you an example. You've probably heard me use it before, but you know, I'm heading to Florida to do a workshop at the last of May. On God's green earth, if I were talking about going to work to do a workshop in Florida, why would I say I'm not going to Maine? Oh well, you know, I'm not going to go to Maine. I'm going to do a workshop in Florida. Obviously, the only reason my mind would inject something about Maine is there's something firing in brain cells about Maine. Otherwise, I mean, there are 8 billion places in the world I could mention. The only one I would mention would be the one that's firing in brain cells. So my invitation would be for you right now to look at resistance, which I've observed happening before. And you know, I'm not saying it's absolute or true or anything else. I'm just inviting you to look. And the measure of your resistance to the idea says there's probably more to it than you want to look at. And so it's just an invitation to take a look and, you know, maybe do a mind shifter, or do some work around hypocrisy, because if there was nothing in your brain cells about hypocrisy, as you're talking about what you do, you wouldn't bring that word into the conversation. So it's a really valuable tool. It's not an accusation or anything like that. It's just a tool, just a way to observe. Regulatory speech is a key part of how to step back from our own minds to become the thinker apart from the thought, the feeler apart from the feelings, the actor apart from the actions. And so as you watch your mind, and I say this because I've watched hundreds of people when they can receive that, and I've watched myself when I notice an idea comes in that I have no idea has anything to do with this situation, but my words bring it up. Oh, there's a signal. I need to look at that. So that's all I'm offering.
Well, thank you, because you said that before, and I haven't I haven't experienced in my conscious state the reactivity. And I'm seeing now how, yes, I could be much more conscious about my words and question what's going on here. Yeah. And so that helps, perhaps because I am so afraid I'm going to be a hypocrite. So like I step out of the norm, I do something which is counter to what my culture expects from me. And even if it's just one tiny step, and I'm afraid of some sort of judgment about being a hypocrite, that's very possible, and I can link that to an actual event. I've mentioned this
before.
How about
a mind shifter?
I'm sure. I would love one. In fact, it's funny. I was thinking of asking you for one.
Cool. Did you have two numbers in mind?
Well, 9 is the first one that comes into mind.
Okay.
And I'm going to say 13 because that's the first thing that came into my mind.
Okay, 9, 13. Just give me 1 second. And then we'll give
get a piece of clear paper here.
Okay.
Okay.
9:13 is in the section on living without perception and memory.
Oh,
and
cool.
The mind shifter is, the mind shifter is, every destructive expression of hostility and fear expression of hostility and fear in the world reminds me.
A little bit slower than you in the world.
It's okay. We're not in a rush.
Oh,
we have
thank
time.
You. Because
reminds
I've been
me to forgive
all my life.
we can slow down. We have plenty of time.
Okay, so every destructive expression of hostility and fear in the world reminds me
to forgive. Reminds me to forgive as to.
Okay.
My perception and stay connected with my source. Comma. My true being. Dot, dot, dot. Love. Exclamation point. So every destructive expression of hostility and fear in the world reminds me to forgive as to my perception and staying connected with my source, my true being, love.
Okay. Every destructive expression of hostility and fear in the world reminds me to forgive as to my perception and stop and stay connected to my source, love.
Yay.
I had almost a Freudian slip there.
Yes.
Would you like to hear it?
I heard it. Stop instead of stay. Go ahead.
Instead of perception, what I started to say was perfection.
Cool.
And
so if we read
to,
that perfection.
I would, yeah.
So let's read it with that. Every destructive expression of hostility and fear in the world reminds me to forgive as to my perfection and stay connected with my source, my true being, love. That makes an interesting shift there.
Yeah, because perfection is a big issue with me, and I never this is how I perceive it in my mind, is I can never measure up. so what's the use of even trying? You know, that sort of feeling. And I, when you said this, I was thinking, oh, this is about self-forgiveness. This for me is about self-forgiveness. And I want to share with you that what usually happens when I get something this long, I get lost halfway through it. So
I'd write down the thought that you just expressed. I'd write that down on the opposite side of the page for that mind shifter.
I better write it down or I'll forget.
That's why we suggest writing it down. That's exactly what happens. I know I've worked on them before. I think, oh, I'll remember that. And then 2 minutes later, it's like, what was that? What was that? It's gone.
Right. Right.
Your mind covers it up very quickly.
I would like to share with you some of the life experiences I'm having. Some of them I got an inkling of, like an insight about, maybe even 30 years ago or more. I like this fake it till you make it, and I'm still obviously have more learning about it for myself as I slowly make my way. I think I mentioned some of these before, but these were specifically what I came up with when I listened to Susan and Dr. Tim yesterday. I'm learning that the difference between smart and wise, or as the Dalai Lama said, smart is knowing what to say, and wise is knowing when to say it. I'm never sure when to say it, and so I withhold when it needs to be said, and I blurt it out when it's inappropriate to be said. So that's an interesting experience that I'm playing with now, or new learning. I am learning.
Sounds like that one might tie into that hypocrisy issue too.
In what way?
Of someone catching you in it. You talked about that. In fact, I've got a mind shifter for you on the hypocrisy thing if you'd like to write it down.
I hope it's not too long. I have half a page here, a short page, kibby page. Okay.
It has always been a wondrous experience. When someone has caught me in hypocrisy, it has always been a wondrous experience when someone has caught me in hypocrisy and condemned me for it. What's happening with your breath?
What's happening with my breath? I'm breathing. And I very often I catch myself not breathing, and then I start to breathe. So I am breathing now. I don't tend not to breathe when I'm writing, I've noticed, for whatever reason. And this really doesn't matter whether I am, in fact, being hypocritical or not, does it?
Right. That's the first thing to go on the right side of the page. That's exactly right on. That's the kind of response we're looking for. And you follow that thread of thought, and that's what will take you into unconscious dynamics. And who knows, this kind of a mind shifter may lead to, you know, accessing an early experience or maybe even a genetic memory of someone being harmed when they were accused of being hypocritical and there was no hypocrisy involved at all. That may be what the healing is about. That's why there's no, you'll remember when we did the codependence intensive, the number one pseudo solution of the non-being mind is, if I could just figure this out. And the reason you can't figure it out is because there are so many energetic dynamics when you, you know, just take one person with all of our genetic history, then put
right.
it beside another person with a separate genetic history, and the way those two things interact, the permutations are endless in number. And so there is no way in God's creation that the 9-bit mind is ever going to put those energies together in a way that, quote-unquote, figures it out. But it can always, whatever it is, be forgiven.
That is such cool beans.
It is. It really is. And, you know, when I, every time I think of it, and actually the more I work with it, the more time goes on, the more I see its impact. The genius of this man who offered, your perception is driven by goals. The appearances in your mind don't get lost in them. You collapse them by canceling the goal. It's just so monumentally important. And if we could just make that one piece of information available globally, the world would change in the snap of a finger.
And I'm realizing in relation to the smart and wise quote that I forget to ask to be shown is when I get into trouble. And, you know, and being vaccinated with a Victrola needle, which most people won't even understand anymore.
Right. Yeah, that was an old process.
And there is, I feel a desire to go to the library and find out the original derivation of this word hypocrisy, because I have a feeling it's a Greek word. So that would be interesting.
It
and
probably
also
would be interesting to look up.
Right now that, pardon?
That probably would be an interesting search to do.
Yeah. I like to do that because that seems to bring me more clarity for myself than anything in relation to the meaning of words and in relation to that saw about that old saw about we all say the same words and speak a different language. So that
yes.
would be interesting for me. Another thing I'm noticing is I'm shaking. And I'm, you know, I've told you about my tremors before, and I've discovered that unless I'm actually hypoglycemic in some, well, reactive hypoglycemic, I could be hungry, actually functionally hypoglycemic or reactive,
right.
is that I shake. And so I thought, because I am very aware that I have closed down my throat chakra, the thyroid. So, and what your chart says about the thyroid is very informative. I've never seen it expressed in that way before. It's like opening up a new possibility for
but
my
you know,
healing.
One of the things they used to do, speaking about being vaccinated with the Victrola needle, one of the
right.
things they used to do, and this is like back in the 50s, is if, let's say, there was a child and they had to open the child's chest, let's say maybe it was for heart problems, they would find this huge thymus gland, overgrown, deformed thymus gland, and they'd cut it out. They'd do a thymectomy because they had never seen a normal thymus gland. In an adult, the thymus gland ends up being walnut size. Because it shrinks in the presence of fear. One piece of documentation that I saw, and it's a long time ago, so I couldn't even say where it came from, but one was that they showed that the thymus gland would shrink by 50% in a 24-hour period where there was an attack of fear.
And I noticed that because the thymus in your chart, it has to do with fear, and the thyroid has to do with rage.
Yes.
Anger,
Yeah. You think about the person on the battlefield that lays dead beside the one who's been shot, but there's no wound. And the intense energy of fear literally can shut down all life functions. And the thymus is the first thing to go. I mean, literally 50% in 24 hours in an attack of fear. And, you know, back in the 50s, they didn't know what a normal thymus gland looked like. And, you know, they thought they were overgrown in kids. And then they realized, no, that was the healthy thymus. Hypocrisy, by the way, a feigning to be what one is not, or the belief that one does not, behavior that contradicts what one claims to believe or feel. The false assumption of an appearance of a virtue or religion.
Well, here's how I relate this to my fake it till you make it. When I realized that I was never going to be able to be in connection with the community or my friends and family even in relation to issues around vaccination or not being vaccinated, because that was a head issue, and I was butting up my belief system against theirs when I really didn't know, and they probably didn't either. So that's when I started to do a deep dive into my heart. And what I did, Michael, was I made a choice that I was going to see, I was going to grow into seeing everyone as love, and grow into my seeing myself as love. And what I could do was just go around and say, honey, sweetheart, dear one, what you say on the radio show. And I could make it humorous by saying, hey, I'm going to be 80 this year, so I have a license. And people right. will look at me funny, and you can kind of see them squirm a little bit because you just don't go up to someone you don't know or
right.
something and say, well, dear heart or dear one, you know, blah, 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 whatever the situation is. And what I'm finding is, because I thought if I used my words and my mind energy, even if I didn't feel like it, to express verbally some sort of affection for them, that it would help their lives and it would hopefully change my life. And what's happening now, I've been doing this for a couple of years, and what's happening now is I'm beginning to find fruits within myself and within the people I have talked to. Like, for I've been one young woman who is has had a hard time of it, and another person who called me sweetheart back. You know, it's just magical. And at the same time, right. I consciously do my best to be aware that I might be perceived as hypocritical, see myself as hypocritical. And I just notice that and allow it and say, I will grow with this.
Breathing with you.
Yes, I have a kind of a chesty condition today, so that's good. I'll take a good deep breath.
Oh, yeah, good idea. And I'll take one with you. And I'm actually kind of smiling internally because this dialogue has opened a new direction of thought for me. Because, and I'm not sure exactly where in the conversation the word hypocrisy fell, but it was either just before or just after you used that word that you proclaimed that you were a hypocrite. You said you were a hypocrite. And the word hypocrite in our culture is usually, you know, and I'd never thought of it differently, is usually a negative connotation. But actually, you're using the word, in a sense here, hypocrite, in a positive connotation. I'm going to fake it till I make it. That's hypocrisy.
Right.
But it's a positive use of hypocrisy, not the negative one. So I'm
yes,
just kind of smiling internally at how
that
all that
either.
Fits together.
Yeah, I never saw that. Yeah, that's sweet, isn't it?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
I'm making
it
a
is.
Conscious choice to work through
to be a hypocrite.
My fear. Yeah. Right. And taking it out, like you say, out of that negative connotation, which brings us right
yes.
back to the first or to the second mind shifter you gave me. It doesn't matter. What matters is my consciousness and what I choose to do about it.
Yes. And I'd write that on the right side of the page with that mind shifter.
And be about it.
Because you also made a comment about when you've been, I'm not sure exactly what word it was used, but something akin to when you've been abused for being accused of being a hypocrite. So there's still probably some energies there to process out with that mind shifter, but that just enlarges the whole picture, definitely. So. Good work.
Yeah, thank you for that. Like we're painting a broader canvas here.
Yes, yes.
May I go on with my other thoughts that I had?
Go for it.
Okay, this is just my personal life experience, and I'm just still growing in this area. But I remember way back, 60 years ago, reading the Bible, and somehow in some study group learning that the Hebrew word for no was actually life experience. It was a reality experience.
To know as in
Bible.
K-N-O-W?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have the experience.
And,
that makes sense.
But we have made it in our cultures, and maybe it was a Greek culture thing, we have made no being be an intellectual experience with the mind. Oh, I know
yeah.
this. What we're actually saying is, oh, I have this information or this belief system in my brain, so I know all about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely, but without the experience.
And then, right, and then yeah. it's the heart energy is the emotion. Emotion, you've talked about this. Emotion, it's that energy in the heart area, the unconscious, or the unconscious being made conscious of energy. That's why I mentioned to you about us being liquid crystal diodes when I got so excited about phospholipids and the skin of the membrane, and that the skin of the membrane is the one that lets in, that is the interchange between transmitters and receptors and all of that. I went, oh, wow, that's so
it's
cool.
all energy.
I know.
But, you know, it's interesting in that regard, it's interesting that, you know, they've always thought of the DNA in the cell as being prime and the interior of the cell being key. But what they found is that they can take the interior of a cell, they can clean everything out of the interior of the cell, and the cell will go on functioning just fine. But if they use an enzyme that will dissolve the receptor sites on the cell, the cell fails when the receptor sites are gone.
A disconnect, Michael.
Tell me more about that thought.
It's just the disconnect. We disconnect ourselves from source. We put
exactly.
an enzyme
yeah.
in us, but our enzyme is gunk. That just screws up our receptor sites. And the transmission can go on into eternity unless we clean up our transmissions, our receptor sites. Amazing. So may I continue?
That's why the antenna, that's why the antenna of the body is so important to be in alignment. proper orientation, proper alignment is key,
right,
to literally living in what the Aramaic peoples called prayer, which meant to set a trap for God. That when we are oriented, when we have our set properly, then we literally capture the active energy of love in which we live, move, and have our being. And that's when we can fulfill what we're designed to fulfill, and that is to pour the active presence of love into the world. That's what we're designed for.
I have feelings running through me right now. I am exploring them. What are they saying to me? What I'm coming up with at this moment, I'm shaking. And I've always negated that with, I mean, I've always associated that with fear. But what if I'm just experiencing life energy that I have not, or I am not quite capable of processing calmly yet? It just was a thought that jumped in my brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being able to handle the energy that's moving in a world that,
right,
says you're not even supposed to know those energies exist,
right,
can create a lot of trepidation.
Okay.
Or be the reflection of a lot of trepidation, you know, being shut down. No, you're not allowed. No. We know, child, that you live in the world of energy and you know everything that's going on around you and you tell the truth about it. But now we want you to lie for us and not know what's going on or pretend you don't. And if you do, you're going to get punished for it. So shut,
yes,
that down. And, yes, basically we live in a culture of liars. And the most basic lie that virtually every person in the culture has told 1,000 times, and you can put the word behind it, whatever word it is, whenever somebody has said, you made me,
right,
they're lying.
I'm really working on
it's
that one.
The whole culture is steeped in a lie.
It's like salmon going upstream to try to spawn, just to be true to yourself or to allow yourself to experience the truth about yourself. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go on to the third one, sir. The third three,
okay,
level, what I call the three levels of knowing for what I'm experiencing in myself. I have no idea if they're true or not. I just know my life works when I remember this. Greg Braden really helped me with this when he talked about the prayer of blessing, the lost mode of prayer of blessing. And he said that emotion plus belief or thought plus the emotion, the heart energy, together make feeling. Feeling is that knowing experience, and feeling will always be a body experience, and it will determine the action that the body takes. I'm paraphrasing this in my understanding of it now at this moment in time. So for me, it's that old Maxwell House coffee commercial again with the percolator, the old-fashioned percolator, which hardly anybody even knows what they are anymore, except us oldies, the youngies, those of us, and who are here to be the elders for the rest of those of us, but we got to find our eldership first. But anyway, the idea of the percolator, where the coffee's put in the top, so it's like the inside is put in the top, and then it goes down to the heart level as the energy percolates, and the heart level is the to me, the inspiration. I'm just using words now because I'm trying to find metaphors. And then the down into the bottom of the pot, which is, that's where the action is. That's the end result. That's the fruits of it all. Until it becomes this process of knowing becomes our actual life experience and how we respond to life, we're not done knowing that particular knowing yet. Does that make sense?
Not exactly, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah. It's like, it's what Jesus said, Yeshua said. It's like, by the fruits you shall know them. Oh, my coffee's done. In this one tiny area.
All right. Well, any other thoughts for you today?
The last one is, but I have become aware over the years, and I am diligently attempting to be conscious every time I say but in a sentence, because I have become aware that for me, but negates everything in the
negation
first half of the sentence.
Yep.
And so I want to make
denial.
Sure that but is real. I mean, is actual, is practical. The butter is in the refrigerator, but it's still frozen. So something like that. That's not a very good example. Perhaps you can think of a better one. There's a legitimate use for but we have used but in relation to our resistance. And we don't even know we're negating what we just said.
Right. Well, we can get off our butts and just go from there.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Maybe we could just put B-U-T-T in between the first half and the second half. There you go, Michael. And I am complete.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, young lady. Well, you have a blessed one.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
All right. Have fun with those mind shifters.
Oh,
especially that constructive use. I've used that before. I've suggested people fake it till you make it, but I've never thought of it as constructive hypocrisy. So, man, we've got an example. That's cool. Yeah. All right. You have
down.
A blessed one.
You too.
All right. Take care.
And
all right, Jeannie,
get a hug from that man of yours.
I will.
Oh, we've had about, I think we've had three or four of them this morning already. So, yeah, we're rocking.
Oh,
we're keeping our quota up.
Yeah, you need 12 for thrival, you know. 8 for maintenance.
There you go.
And 4 for survival. There you go. You're good
All right.
to go. Bye-bye.
All right, blessings. Bye-bye.
Awesome.
All right, Miss Jeannie.
The next one is Susan, and her hand also might be left over from Dr. Tim, but we'll check. Welcome, Susan, 610. You're on the air.
Hi, it's not left over. I did want to ask you, thanks for yesterday, too, all that stuff.
You're most welcome.
I wanted to ask you for a mind shifter, but not one of the numbers, something very specific. I've made myself a mind shifter. It is safe and healing for me to feel affection for Michael, our Michael. And I'm absolutely stuck with it. And I wondered if you could tweak it in some way. I just thought it would be so nice. Here we've got this perfectly okay person. I mean, maybe he isn't okay, but whatever. It's not up to me to know. If I could just enjoy him and appreciate him, instead of dealing with all kinds of tightness, and then I do my wake-up sheets. And I'm telling you, it's just an ongoing thing. Any ideas?
Yes. Well, let's do it two ways. Let's first of all, how about picking a number from 1 to 21?
Okay.
What number is it?
Well, I had picked two numbers quite a while back, and they're 9 and 9.
Okay, let's see how that fits here. So 9-9 is, I willingly allow my past to be removed.
Wow, okay.
Sounds like the answer to your question.
Googly part of it. Keep going. This is good.
That's it.
I've got that much.
That's it.
That's 9 and 9?
That's 9-9. Wow. I willingly allow my past to be removed, and my offering would be, what comes to mind for me is, everything that you're seeing about Michael is from your past. And that's what inhibits your affection for Michael.
Okay.
And so I'd say if you just allow your past to be removed, work on that one, and, you know, whatever it is that Michael's bringing up for you, as you allow it to be removed or forgiven, then the natural state of us as human beings is that of affection for each other. And I think you'll find that affection restored. And the only time it will disappear is if another piece of your past is resonated by something you do in regard to Michael, or something Michael does in regard to you, or someone else in the world around you.
Okay. That's good. I don't like it at all because it is so good.
I love it. You know, there's this, there may be just an odd off chance that there might be a resistance in your family system that might be reflecting back to you from some other people in the family.
Oh, could be.
If you have a sense of who I'm talking about.
I have a sense of who you're talking about. You know, I have blocked a certain person, but the only blocking that isn't complete is Messenger, when I am one of several people being blocked. I'm one of several people who are being addressed. This person we're talking about is very eager to get us into therapy and correct our terrible ways. And the fact that I'm already in intensive therapy, 2 hours a day with you and Tim Hayes, and constantly, you know, using one or another of many tools, is not of any interest to him. Somehow he's wanting to tell us to change our ways so that a goal he has can be met. And it's not going to be met under these circumstances. But this blocking on Facebook, the Facebook kindly says, you are part of this chat, but you have blocked him. Would you like to be part of this chat? You can be part of the chat and this person won't know, or whatever it is. And I'm sitting here thinking, I want to know what he says, but I don't want to know what he says. So, in a very,
right.
You know, I'm curious all the way along because I care about this person. Oh, I talk about, it is so hard, going back to the first person, so hard to feel affection for this person, even though I want to kill him, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel love for him. I feel affection for him. So, anyway, that's just what's going on. Thank you for the mind shifter. I don't need to stay on because I haven't done it yet. Mm-hmm. But I'll give you
right.
a report.
Well, one of the pieces of wisdom that was offered to me yesterday was that what and the rest of the family needs to do is go to Codependence Anonymous. Or
okay.
Then there was a change in conversation. Maybe NA would be better.
What's NA?
So, Narcotics Anonymous.
Oh,
it's like AA, NA.
Yeah. Why the change?
I don't know. That was just in my extended conversations. There was a great deal of co-therapizing you and
yes.
and what you needed to do because, I mean, he's just got it all figured out. He knows. I mean, he's a psychotherapist already.
Yeah.
He's got it all figured out.
Yeah. Okay, well, I don't know what to do with all that at the moment.
Well, we'll probably just breathe and allow the past to be removed.
Okay. There's an awful lot of it.
Yeah, that's the game. And holding the space.
Thanks.
All right, you have a blessed one. Tell Tim we said hello and give
him
a hug.
Michael. Okay.
All right,
thanks,
take care. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Miss Jeannie, we've got about 4 minutes left. Do we have anybody
and
else?
There's not another hand up, but something, I jotted it down. I didn't catch the whole thing, and I think it was yesterday. It might have been day before. And this might fit in with what you were talking about with Susan about the past experiences not allowing affection for present. But the part that I wrote down said to stop projecting on my past, and I can't find the rest of the video yet to hear the whole thing, what it was in. Do you remember that, or can you add to that?
Excuse me, say it again, sweetheart.
It was, what I wrote down was, stop projecting on my past. I'm not sure that that's exactly what was said, and I don't know if you said it or the person you were talking to said it, but it rang something in me, but I couldn't quite get it.
It rang something in you in terms of some of today's conversation?
No, just when you said it the other day or when they said it the other day, it was just like, oh, I need to write that down. And what clicked, and I'm not sure this is what was being said, is that we project what's going on in us now, we project it on our past sort of as a blaming or whatever to keep from actually looking at the present.
So the context that comes to me is that would be in the space where here I am, I live in a world of actuality, a multi-trillion bit world, and I substitute for that world of actuality a construct from my past, which could properly be called, and especially if I'm trying to fight against it, could properly be called Satan, the resistor, one who misleads. And when I'm allowing something from my past to be substituted, a construct in my mind that I put in front of actuality, does that fit with where you were going with it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, as long as we're living in carbon-based memory, by definition, in order for carbon-based memory, just like a computer, to be able to put something up on the screen, it has to be in the computer. So by definition, it's from the past. And if I allow that past to overwrite my present, then I void my ability to be in the presence of active love. And by collapsing my past, like the constructs of my mind, by collapsing projection, perception, through forgiveness, I move that out of the way so that I can be in the present. And it's like that's where everything transforms, everything transmutes, just by allowing the present, the actual present moment energy into my experience. So that's what comes up for me as you share that thought. I hope that fits. And we are down to about the last minute. So if you have any other thoughts.
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for joining us. Have a blessed one. And we'll look forward to talking with you on Monday.